I want to talk to you a few minutes on the very vital subject of how may I become a Christian. Yes, and perhaps I should add, how may I become a Christian in the Bible sense of the word and really know it? If someone were to stop you on the street or unexpectedly somewhere and say, look, I have a problem, the most pressing problem I've ever had. I would like to become a Bible Christian. I would like to know that my sins are forgiven and that I am a child of God. Can you help me, sir? Can you help me, ma'am? What would you say? Well, I think that if someone were to accost me with that question, I would turn him immediately to the first chapter of the Gospel by John and read to him a few simple verses. I think I'd begin with verse 10. I'm going to share these verses with you right now. Verses 10 through 13 of John's Gospel, chapter 1. He, Christ, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now I think that if we look at these few verses in close-up, we will have a very clear and satisfying answer to our question. You know, it might be well to start off with the negative side of the question. That is, how do I not become a child of God? Well, you say, does this passage explain the negative side, how we do not become Christians? Yes, indeed it does. And this is spelled out in plain English in verse 13. Verse 12 tells me how to become a Christian and know it. But verse 13 tells me how we do not become children of God. Now, it starts off by saying, we're born not of blood. John 1, verse 13. Not of blood. Now, what does that mean? Well, it simply means that we do not become Christians by natural generation. That is, we do not inherit salvation by heredity. Now, of course, we do inherit many things by heredity. We inherit many, many qualities from our parents, perhaps our dispositions, perhaps abilities, likes and dislikes, our physical features and so on. We come into these naturally by reason of the fact that we are the offspring of our parents. Sure, that's obvious. But the Holy Scriptures say here that a man does not become a child of God by blood. That means not by an inheritance or by heredity through the bloodline. Sometimes people think that because their parents are devout, therefore they automatically become Christians. But this is not true. A lady said to a Christian friend of mine, she said, "Why, sir, I don't need to be born again because, you see, religion runs in our family. My father was a minister, and my uncle was a minister, and I had an aunt who was a missionary, and my grandmother used to play the church organ, and religion runs in our family. Of course I'm a Christian." Well, I'm sorry to have to report that such is not the case. Salvation is not inherited. John 1 and 13 says so. Speaking of those who have been born again, born of God, it says that we become such not of blood. Supposing a Bulgarian or an Albanian were to migrate to this country. He cannot vote. He is not recognized as a citizen of this country until he is naturalized, of course. Now, beloved, let us remember this, that salvation puts us into the family of God, not by natural generation, but rather by supernatural regeneration. That's how the Lord explained it to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when he said, except a man be born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No, it's not by natural generation. But then there's something else in verse 13 of John 1. It says that true believers are born not of blood and nor of the will of the flesh. What does that mean? We don't become Christians by self-determination. That is, by making up our minds that we're going to become Christians, by turning over a new leaf, by being baptized and joining the church. No, I do not become a Christian, a true born-again believer, by a mere act of my will, any more than I become the President of the United States by making up my mind that I'm going to be the President of the United States. Oh, no. Not of the will of the flesh. You see, you and I might wear the clothes of a very prominent person. We might dress like him. We might actually mimic his manners and talk like him, and even fool some people that we are this particular gentleman. But in order to be him, we'd have to be born as he is, not of the will of the flesh. Number three, it tells me here the third reason how, or the third way in which it's impossible to become a child of God. For it says, nor by the will of man. True believers are born then, not of blood, that's natural generation, nor of the will of the flesh, that's self-determination, nor of the will of man, that's by human mediation. In other words, I don't become a child of God by submitting to human ceremonies and ordinances and regulations. For example, baptism will not make me a child of God. Baptism is not an integral, vital part of the gospel of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You see the force of that? Paul did baptize. And of course, every Christian believes in the ordinance of baptism because it's clearly taught in the scriptures. You say, well then, what are you talking about? Simply this, that men and women are not born again or made true children of God by submitting to a human ordinance. Baptism follows salvation. Baptism does not procure salvation. It's one of the effects of salvation. You see, it's like a soldier putting on the uniform. A uniform never yet made a soldier. A wedding ring never yet made a married woman. A soldier's uniform is that which follows his enlistment. A wedding ring is that which follows the commitment at the ceremony. So, verse 13 of John 1 tells me how you and I do not become children of God. Now then, let's go to the positive side. Then how do I become a child of God? Look at verse 11 again. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. The Lord Jesus was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Isn't that astonishing? My, what a statement. Think of it for a moment. The creator of the world came down into the area of his own creation. He was in the world and the world was made by him. And then the amazing statement follows, and the world knew him not. When Jesus came, the world looked at him and said, "Hey, who are you? We don't know who you are." What had happened? The creature didn't know his creator when he came. That's right. Ah, why? Because sin had blinded his mind. And the next verse confirms this. For John 1:11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." He came to his own things, but his own people received him not. Instead of giving him a coronation, they gave him a crucifixion. But the next verse says, and it's so glorious, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name." Now there are two things here, two simple conditions whereby I become a child of God today. First of all, there's something to believe, and secondly, there's someone to receive. "Even to them that believe on his name." There's where faith comes in. Faith accepts the revelation that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and God the Son, that he came from heaven, that he was sent by the Father as an expression of the Father's love, that he not only was born, but he lived, and he not only lived, but he died, and he died in my place. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. He loved me and gave himself for me. He died for the guilty and for the ungodly. And then God raised him from the dead the third day in proof and demonstration that he was entirely satisfied with his work on the cross on my behalf. And God has glorified Christ. He's ascended and glorified today. Now then, I believe on his name. I put my faith in him. And then it says, "As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name." Notice, it's a him, H-I-M, to as many as received him, not it. It's not a case of getting religion. It's not a case of joining the church. It's not a case, my friends, of receiving any substitute. It's receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as my sole refuge and Savior. I flee to him and receive him, just as the bride receives her bridegroom, and the bridegroom receives his bride, receives him or her into his life, into his home, into his heart, into all that he is. So I receive Jesus Christ here and now as my Lord and Savior. Will you do it? Will you just at the close of this broadcast tell the Lord Jesus that you trust him. As a guilty sinner, you come and believe he died for you and rose again. And here and now, I'll receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior, my friend, and my Lord. And then open to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and read verses 11, 12, and 13 again. And I'm sure that the Spirit of God will seal home the work, and you'll become a child of God for his name's sake.